Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Are you ready to hear the Word of God?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it then. Yeah. And if you'd like a title, it's this one. Hold tight, comma, love, comma, do good. Full stop. Exclamation mark. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Asterisk, etc. All right. I've already come out once again. I've already come out once this morning. I'm gonna come out again tonight. Don't look at me so concerned, Duncan. All should be explained. I want to come out tonight. I'm in love with a Jewish man. All right. And I've been in love with him for 30 years. And he's completely changed my life. Turn my life upside down for the better. Set me free. I'm liberated. I'm a liberated person. Okay. And the good news is it's an open relationship. And it's free for all. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, he loves my wife and he loves my children too. He's got so much love that it cannot be contained in just a few people. Okay, he loves every single one of you out there as well. In fact, he loves the whole world. So much that he prepared to give his life for the world, which he did. And then because he's no ordinary man, he came alive. He came alive. And his love is being poured out upon the world, even now. And when you love him, he makes you a better person. All right. He changes your mind. He changes your heart. He changes your outlook. The crazy thing is, I don't even know what he looks like. And I love him anyway. I know he's kind of got white hair now. So Sheila, you're in good company back there. I know I need to stop. All right. It's not a physical attraction, though. It's all right. All right. Except that when my body dies, the only thing physical about it is when my body dies, I'm going to get a revamp. I'm going to get a perfect one day in the sweet by and by, whatever that means. Somewhere in eternity anyway. I'm going to get a perfect body. Right, and later this month, I'm going over to his place. And Duncan and Tanya are coming over as well. We're going over to Israel, Galilee, and his name is Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name we've been singing tonight. And what a Savior he is. And that's what his name means, Savior. Jesus means Savior. And he came to save. He came to set free. So anybody who puts their trust in him, they can experience what it is to be set free from sin, to be set free from guilt and shame. Yeah, God separates that from you, because Jesus took it upon himself. That's what kind of man he is. He took it upon himself so that we can be free. It's good to get that off the chest. Right, we're going to be speaking from the book of Hebrews. Jesus was a Hebrew, or he was born into a Hebrew body, if you like. he was an Israelite. And we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament. It was written to the Jews who were scattered around the world. So they weren't living in Israel anymore. They'd been scattered round and about the place. And they were coming under some persecution. So these were Jews who'd put their trust in Jesus as their Messiah. And they were coming under some persecution from their fellow countrymen who didn't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. And they were coming under persecution from a Roman Empire that was very hostile to God, because the Jesus followers in those days refused to say that the emperor was God, because he wasn't. And he still isn't. And neither is any man ever going to be God. There is only one God, and that's the truth. And sometimes when you speak the truth, you get persecuted for it. Mm-hmm. Don't sweat it. You know, we're doing all right in this country. We're not doing so bad on the persecution stakes. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Good to pray for the persecuted church, but it's good for us to be able to live in peace, the Bible says. Right, so this letter was going out to the Jews who were scattered about, who were believing in Jesus, and he was telling them, do not give up, do not waver in your faith. Because as the persecution would come in, some of them were thinking, oh, this is too intense, this is too much. I think maybe I'll just go back to my traditional Judaism. And the writer, who's an anonymous writer, was telling them, guys, no way. What's the point? Jesus has fulfilled all of the requirements of the written law. Jesus has fulfilled all of the prophecies that were spoken out. You don't go back to something that is now being made obsolete. You don't go back to a sacrificial system where they used to sacrifice animals for the taking away of sins, because basically that never worked. They had to do it again and again and again and again. Or even though there was that bloodshed of innocent animals, it was never enough to take away the sins of mankind. Jesus had fulfilled that role as God's great high priest. Basically saying it'd be a complete and utter waste of time to go back to that old system, because God has instituted a new covenant, a new understanding, a new way of coming to him. And that was through Jesus and through his death and through his resurrection. So, the book of Hebrews, that's a key to understanding the Old Testament for us New Testament believers. Okay, if you read the book of Hebrews, it's going to give you a greater understanding of the Old Testament, all the sacrificial system that there was, the prophetic stuff, and why priests were made priests, etc. It gives a good explanation of what that was all about, if you want to understand that. And we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10 now, verse 19 through to 25. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. So he's talking about there, the throne room of God, and how, yeah, although there used to be a curtain between us and God because of our sin had separated us, Jesus has torn that open now, and now the way to God is open. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. And we're going to look now back at verse 23, where we're given an instruction to hold tightly to our hope. Anybody out there hoping for things? You know, you've seen lots of answers to prayer, but there's ever things that you're hoping for. You're putting your trust in God. Mm-hmm. The Bible instructs us to hold tightly to the hope that we've got for the promises. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. God has got good things for every single one of us, yeah? He's a good God. He wants to give good things to his children. All right. So if I'm reading that, then it says to me that there is the potential to lose our grip. I mean, God's not going to lose his grip on us, but we can lose our grip on the promises and on the hope that we've put in our God. Right, so what is it specifically that we're supposed to hold on to? His promises in the Word of God. Yeah, God has given us many good promises in his Word, and he's probably given each one of us here promises by his Spirit as well. He's quickened certain words to us that we can take as a promise from God to us over our life, over this place as a church, over our families' lives, you know, and we need to hold on to the promises that God has given us. God's promises are fulfilled by believing, having faith, and doing what he says. So believing and obeying. So the Hebrews who came out of Egypt with Moses when they were being persecuted, God had given them a promise: I'm going to call you out of this place. And that's exactly what happened. He gave that promise to Joseph. Joseph, I'm going to call your descendants out of this place, and they're going to go back to the land that I have promised them. So it was a promise from God. It was going to happen. Yeah? Now, they should have held on tightly to that promise from God. But instead, some of them wavered in their unbelief. And there was a whole generation that died in the wilderness when they could have been in the promised land. Isn't that a sad thing? Mm. You know, they didn't hold on to the promises that God had for them. But it went to their children instead. Hey, praise God for that at least. Yeah? The promise was going to be fulfilled. It said, but because of your unbelief, you're going to die in the wilderness. Your children are going to see the good land that I have promised instead. So yeah, some promises are conditional and some are unconditional. For instance, Jesus said, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to rise again. And it didn't matter whether they believed Jesus or not. You know, that happened. God is sovereign. Yeah? God is sovereign. So that happened despite the unbelief of the disciples. Jesus believed, so it was going to happen. Yeah. Right. God wants us to play a part, to hold on tight, you know. So we've got a job to do. We need to hold on tight to the things that God has promised us. And the old fairground rides when I was on, I can't remember what it was called. I'm just remembering my childhood days when I was in Gloucester. This thing was like a zipper. They used to say, here we go, hold tight, they used to say. It used to speed the ride up. And you'd be laughing away with a big smile on your face, but really inside you was thinking, I hope this ride doesn't go much faster because I'm going to fly off. But there are some things you need to hold on tight to. And if you're a dog owner, you know what that means. If your dog sees a cat and it wants to go for that cat, wants to go and say hello to the pussycat just to chase it. The dogs are bullies, aren't they? I'm getting a look now. I'm only kidding. All right. They just like to chase cats, and cats like to chase birds, etc. It's just nature, I suppose, isn't it? But yeah, you know those times when you need to hold on tight to your dog's lead, otherwise it's going to be off. You know, and when if you've had kids or you've been a kid yourself, which we all have, and you take them swimming and they're in that deep end, and they're out of breath and they need someone to cling to because they can't make it to the side. And they hold on tight to you because they know they're going to be safe with you when they're in the water. Holding tight, it's beneficial. Yeah. I'm sure there's times when holding on to those promises seems like, hey, this is lasting a long time. You know, I wish this promise would hurry up. You know? Abraham, he knows all about that. He waited 25 years. God had told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, in the natural, we know that was quite hilarious. You know, but God, he doesn't live in this natural world. He's a supernatural God. And as Abraham didn't waver in his faith, the Bible tells us, he managed to see that promise fulfilled within his life. And the rest is history. The nation of Israel came through Abraham. Amazing man of faith, the Bible calls him. So don't let the devil rob you of your hope. It might look like there are giants that are standing in the way. It might look like there are walls that are in front of you, in front of your promise that God has given you. Discouragements and setbacks, knockbacks, things that put you on the ground, get up again. Yeah. You know, the righteous man, although he falls, he gets up again. Doesn't matter whether he's been knocked down seven times, he gets up again, the Bible tells us. And there's a good promise for families and for children in Malachi 2:15. And it says this, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body and in spirit? You are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. So yeah, your children the children that God has given you, the children that God will give you, etc. God has an intention for them, and that is that they would be godly offspring. And I've often reminded God of that. When it seems like they're not being very godly, I've reminded God, you want godly offspring. So yeah, I commit my offspring back to you. Thank you that they're going to be godly. Yeah, and sometimes they can make you feel ungodly yourself, can't they, your kids? They can drive you crackers. Yeah, and they make you feel like committing sins of murder and things like that. I'm just joking, but you know what I mean. It's called being a parent, and it builds patience in us. It builds endurance. It builds lots of strong character traits in us when we're bringing up our kids. We love them, don't you? We love them, don't we, should I say? Sometimes you feel like you want to love them to death, but we love them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Yeah, we wouldn't be without them, that's for sure. Okay. And if they stray from God, we can pray and we can hold on to the promises that God has given us from his word and over their lives. And it's our job to be an example to them, isn't it? Be an example to the children. And they can return to God. I know that I did, after I'd kind of strayed away from God. Although I knew the truth, I'd strayed from it, but the truth remained inside of me. It's an incorruptible seed, the Bible says. All those words that have been spoken over your kids, that's not going to go away. It can't do. It's impossible. Incorruptible seed. It can't lose its power. It can't lose its effect when it's just been spoken over your children. You've got to believe and you've got to hold on to the promises that have been spoken over your kids or over your family or over certain things in your life. That you're believing for. It might not just be kids. It might be other members of your family, brothers, sisters, mums, dads, etc. Or people that you're close to, friends that you're close to, work colleagues. And there's promises that you believe that God has given you for their lives. Hold on to those promises, even when it looks as though they're nowhere near being fulfilled. God is faithful and God is true. You have an adversary, the devil. Yeah, resist him and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. You're going to come under attack, but you don't have to take it lying down. No way. You don't take it lying down. Like Faye was saying last week, you got to say aloud, no to the devil. No, in the name of Jesus. That's enough. No more. So far and no more. Draw a line in the sand. When he's fighting against you, you fight back. You got weapons that are mighty and that are powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. Fight for the good things that God has brought into your life. That includes your marriage, so Malachi tells us, okay? That includes everything good that God has brought into our lives. Fight for it. Don't let the devil pull it down. Don't let the devil destroy it. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't let him. God has come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. In all of its fullness. Hold on. Hold on to it. Okay, Hebrews 10, verse 24. And this was, it made me ponder this verse. I've read it a few times before, I'm sure. But it made me ponder. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So God wants us to think. God wants us to think. God's given us a brain. God's given us a mind. He wants us to think. Use your noggin. Take time out to think. We can get so busy, can't we, that we haven't got time to think. But as far as I can see there, that's an instruction, a command. Yeah? Let us think. You need to think. Take some time out with God to think. And what are we to think about? How we can motivate other believers in Jesus, to love and to good works. Be proactive in doing it. That means we don't just leave it up to God. We don't just leave it up to the angels. We've got a part to play. God partners with us. So we can actually impact other people's lives. Isn't that a good thing? Might be a bit scary, but it's a good thing. We're supposed to impact other people's lives. It's good.
Yeah.
Inspire others. Do it wisely, because God is a God of wisdom. You could be kids workers, youth workers, working with seniors, working with your neighbors, wherever it may be. It's called discipleship. Mm-hmm. You know, inspire others to love and to good works. And the Parker House, we're just experimenting with giving our kids an incentive to do good stuff around the house by saying, if you do this job, if you do that job, there's going to be more pocket money for you at the end of the week. It's called motivation. So far, so good. It's working. It's working all right at the moment. So, yeah, I was saying it'd be maybe an idea to try that with the wife, to give me a nice shoulder massage every night when I come in from work. I'm going to give you some more chocolate money, Sharon, if I get a nice massage at the end of the night. But she's not here. I can't say it. It's all right. Just an idea. Just an idea. Anyway, so we don't get paid for being a Jesus follower. Not the last time I looked anyway. Our reward comes in heaven. Yeah, our reward comes in heaven. Right, so what is it that motivates people to love and to good works? The Bible tells us we reap what we sow. You know, this is one of those laws that is always going to happen. We're going to reap what we sow. So if we sow love, we're going to reap it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to help people. It's going to inspire people to doing acts of love. How about encouragement? Is anybody here like being encouraged?
Sure.
Encouragement is good, you know, and it's a good biblical thing as well. We need to encourage one another. In fact, it's an instruction. It's a command. Encourage one another. Say things like, yeah, you're doing good. You know, you're such a blessing. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for looking after my kids in the morning and that type of thing. You know, we can find many things that we can encourage people with. Yeah? So we're not to be a discouragement. We're to be an encouragement. Gifts of encouragement. We can give that to people. Yeah. Thank people for their friendship. Thank people for whatever is good that kind of comes into your life. You know, speak those words of encouragement. They build people up, don't they? Do you like being built up? I do. I like to be built up positively. Who wouldn't do? Who wouldn't do? Yeah, walk with people when they're finding things difficult. Pray for folks. You know, let them know. I'm praying for you, you know. Sometimes you think, well, what can I do to help in this situation? You think, well, there's not a lot I can do apart from pray. Mm-hmm. Do that, you know, do that. Let people know that you're thinking of them and that you've got a level of understanding at least. We're to serve one another. I read that in the Bible, I know I have. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, serve one another. You know, as I have served you, serve one another. And there was, you could picture Jesus as he washes the disciples' feet. He says, don't be afraid to do this for one another. Don't be ashamed to do this. Don't be afraid to take the lowliest position. Here I am, the Son of God, you know, and I'm prepared to serve you. Now, do likewise, serve one another. Wonderful, isn't he? Wonderful Jesus is. Okay. Show hospitality. Some of you got that gift. Show hospitality. Yeah, we're all to show hospitality, but some are better at it than others. It's just the way that it is. Be generous. Surprise someone with your generosity. Hey, I just want to give this to you. You know, just for fun. To be a blessing. You ever done that? Okay, forgive one another's faults. That's an act of love, isn't it? Forgive one another's faults. We can all kind of point the finger sometimes, can't we? You did that to me. You should have done that to me. Blah, blah, blah. But we're to forgive one another's faults. It's loving. It's God-like. It's Christ-like. And let's not let anybody be lonely in church. We see somebody who's kind of sitting on their own. Let's go and talk to them, etc. You know, somebody new comes through the door. Let's go and talk to them. It's, should be an offense. Should be a crime if someone is feeling lonely in church. And it's sad that it does happen from time to time. Let's make sure it doesn't happen in this place, yeah? We're a body. Like it or not, we are a body. We're connected to one another. God has connected us to one another with the body of Christ on earth. For my body to prosper, my brain needs to tell my hands that it needs to put food in my mouth to go into my stomach and to be digested. And if I'm trying to eat tomato soup without my hands, I'm going to end up red-faced. Okay? Going to end up messy. Or if you're eating boiled eggs, you're going to end up with egg on your face, etc., etc. All right. God has designed it so we need each other. You know, that picture of the body. You got an itch, your hand needs to kind of get there and give it a scratch, doesn't it? We need one another. None of us has got it all together, no matter how gifted we may be. We depend on one another. All right, he's gifted us and fitted us together for a purpose. Verse 25. Ooh, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. If you don't show up, the body is poorer for it. It's a command, isn't it? Don't neglect meeting together. Don't be negligent. It talks of, say, someone who once upon a time used to be there, you know, and then they thought, I'm not going to be there now, you know. Everyone will understand, you know. I just want to put my feet up and watch the telly or whatever. You know, let's not become negligent. Let's not neglect meeting together. It's important. It's encouraging to others. I mean, if you guys hadn't turned up tonight, I would have been really discouraged. Yeah, and we're here to encourage one another. And when we meet together, it is encouraging. You know, it strengthens us. You know, even when I'm doing nothing within the service, it's an encouragement and it's a strength when I'm just there receiving from God, receiving from the gifts that God has put within the body. It strengthens me, and it'll strengthen you as well. It's my conviction that you need to stay in the body or the church that God has called you to in until God calls you elsewhere. Yeah? It's important. I was called here some 17 years ago. Doesn't time fly? Right, from Bible college, and a few years in, my circumstances, they changed, and God's word to me was, stay where you are. Build a home, pray and bless the place. You'll find that in Jeremiah. And that's what I did. And I was glad I did, you know. It's turned out to be a blessing to me. It turned out to be a blessing to my family. It's a good rule that we don't just go, but, you know, if you're going to leave a church or whatever, it's important that you are sent. And that is by church leadership. It's God's delegated authority. And that is another sermon, but you know what I mean, yeah? Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world. They went with his blessing because he had sent them. You know, let's not just be people that go because we feel like it. Too many Christians go without being sent, and it's a sad thing. Go with a blessing, and you take the blessing with you, yeah? We're blessed to be a blessing. So, yeah, summing up. Love Jesus, it opens to you all of the blessings of God's throne room. It's why he died. Never give up believing. Hold tightly to the promises that God has given for you and for your family, for your loved ones, and for this house. Think of how we can motivate one another to love and to good works in others, and we can do it today. In fact, we are going to do it today. We're going to pray for Israel. For those of you who don't know, it's Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem Day. All right, we're linked closely with the Jewish people through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, who was a Jew himself. Yeah, and we've been grafted in to Israel as a people, so we inherit the promises, the same promises that was given to Israel. So we're gonna do a bit of work tonight after this message. We're gonna pray for the peace of Jerusalem, like the Bible asks us to do. Okay, so let's not stop meeting together. The body is worse off without you. encourage one another. Be a doer of the word. Okay. How can you inspire someone to love and good works? Think about it. Spend some time thinking about it. How can I inspire someone to love and good works? All right, so homework. Take a bit of time out. God, how can I inspire someone to love and good works, you know, this week and onwards, of course? You up for that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Good.